Good morning, church. Let's try it again. I think you got more fire in you than that. I got to preach, so I need your help. Good morning, church. It's good to see you today. Give it up for our worship team and the band that did such a great job today. Like I said, my name's Hunter. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, we'll be hanging out in the lobby after service. We have some coffee and some little desserts, and we have a whole team that puts that together. So make sure to hang out. Make sure to say hello if we haven't had a chance to connect yet. Today is unique. We're starting a brand new sermon series. And if you're new around here, that just means we're unpacking things over a number of weeks, kind of like episodes in a Netflix series where you've got a little bit each week and it kind of makes a whole story. So that's what we're doing. We're starting a whole new series of messages. And if you're new around here, I actually want to give you a challenge. If you're new here, you might be thinking, is this the right church for me? Could I belong here? Is this where I can find my tribe or my people? And what I found is it takes a couple weeks to get to know, is this the right spot for me? For example, I'm preaching today. In a couple weeks, Purnell is going to be preaching. Our worship songs take a different flavor week in and week out. We have different snacks different weeks. I mean, everything kind of ebbs and flows throughout each week. And we found it takes about 3 weeks to know, is this the right church for me? So I encourage you, spend the next 3 weeks with us. Join us over the next few weeks in this sermon series, and you'll know, is this the right place for me? Because every Sunday's different, everything's unique, and it takes a little bit of time just to kind of get a feel for it. So today, I want to set up our sermon series. It's a little different than what I normally do. Sometimes I do messages that are very inspirational. I get loud, and I get fiery, and I get excited. Some messages, like this last one went through, it was pretty hard-hitting if you were here. I mean, it dove down deep into our lives and helped us to really understand what Scripture was, what they were saying, and how to live according to those Scriptures. And so some are about the future, where we're headed. Some are about the present, and some are about healing from the past. This message is going to tease out some very deep truths from a specific passage with one specific question over the next 4 weeks. It's going to be a little bit deep. It's going to be very teachy, but I believe it has the power to absolutely change your life. And I want to say this before I go into the sermon series, before I unpack what it is. We've got some very special guests here with us today. They actually used to be part of this church before. There were the associate pastors here, and it's Joe and Uri. Give them a hand clap. We're so excited that they're here. And Joe, it's a big weekend for Joe. He just got a master's degree, and he, with our denomination, tomorrow, he's going to be licensed as an ordained bishop in our denomination. So give it up for Joe and Audrey. We wouldn't be here without you guys. You guys have paved the way in so many arenas. I find your name written on 1,000 things, Joe. And I'm like, well, what about this? Oh, Joe knew about that. Joe handled that. And they were very involved. And so it's important to know our history. So if you haven't met Joe and Uri, they'll be hanging out with us after service. So say hello. All right. Here and now today. I want to say this. If you happen to fall asleep during the message today, or if there's something you missed and there's something you want to go back on, check it out online. We put all our messages online, so it's easy to do. A lot of times when you're listening to a message, you think, shoot, I wish so-and-so had been here to hear it, right? And so send them online to check out our things there. The next piece I want to say about our sermon series is we have a small group that's dedicated to studying whatever it is we talk about in a sermon series. And so we have a group meets on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. It's called Talk It Over. Me and a few others gather together, and we process these sermons, and we help apply them to our lives. This one's going to be really important that you take that step in, because this one's going to get into your life. This sermon series is going to get in your business, and we want to really help you practically apply it. So join us Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. It's in the building that runs adjacent to this one. 7 o'clock, we have some snacks. We talk about it. It's really good. So this series is called Ask It, and it's the question that answers just about everything. So the next 4 weeks, one question. And why are we doing this? Why am I spending so much time on one question, one passage? It's because my hope and my prayer is that this will become a centerpiece of your life, that you're going to filter your life through this question. You're going to see your world through this question. That's going to be very formational, very foundational, and helping get you to the future that you hope to have. This question brings clarity to the complex situations, because so often we have questions. Should I buy this? Should I go there? Should I date them? Should I sell my house now? Should I wait to sell my house? What should I do in this given moment? Should I bring this up with my spouse? Should I talk to my teenager about that? Should I pull back or should I press in? Do I need to ask for a raise or do I need to look for another job? This question brings insane amounts of clarity to that. It's a very personal question. It's unique to each one of us, how you're going to answer it. And had you been asking this question all along, it would have saved you a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of tears. In fact, if you go back to your greatest regret, think about your greatest regret for a second. If you were to go back in time and ask this question over your greatest regret, you would have avoided your greatest regret in this life. So this series is called Ask It, and we're going to be talking about how to ask this question in part of our lives. I came across this question a few years ago, and it began to change things in me. I began doing studies on it, I preached sermons on it, I've done small groups on it, and every time I go into it, it helps me become a better version of what God's doing in my life. It's the reason that I exercise it. It helps me to become better in decluttering. How many of you got clutter in your house? And it's like, how do I make these decisions? What do I do with this? What do I do with that? Down to those minute decisions, this question has helped me. It's helped me to read more and Netflix less. It's given me more peace and more faith and more of the things that I really want in my life. It's become so central to my life. How I lead in the church, how I lead in the home, how we wash our dishes, how we spend our money, how we raise our children. This question has the potential to truly change your life. The key passage we're looking at, if you're taking notes, is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. So if you're taking notes, go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. You may have the Bible app on your phone, turn there. You may have an analog Bible, go ahead and turn there, Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. So let me give you some context. So even if you don't believe in Scripture, you may say, I don't know about the whole flood thing. You may say, I don't know if it was, literal 7 days. I don't know about all the things that all the Bible says. You don't have to be a Christian to hear what's going to happen in this message today, because we're actually talking about a historical figure. His name was Paul, and he wrote the majority of the New Testament. He wrote them in the form of letters to cities and to individuals, and he was an actual historical figure. You can look him up in the Bible, and you can look him up beyond the Bible and kind of see what he was about. He planted more churches than anyone else in the New Testament, but he didn't start out that way. He didn't start out that way. Paul started one way. He started out against Christianity. He was trying to eradicate Christianity. He wanted to remove it from the face of the earth. And it started as a small thing. And he thought, if I can deal with this small version of Christ followers, then it'll never be here on the earth again. We can rid ourselves of it. And one day he's walking along and he meets God, and the switch flips completely. And Paul goes from being a Christian hater, a Christian hunter, to a Christian leader all in one day. And we hear that a lot of times, and I think we just skate over how significant it was. It's like, imagine you are a Democrat, and all of a sudden, on your way to work, you're just driving along, and all of a sudden, boom, a switch flips, and now you're a Republican. And now, not only are you a Republican, but you're going to convert all your Democrat friends to be Republicans. It's going to help you in how you spend your money, you say. It's going to help you. It's going to make our country a better place, you say. You say your life is going to be better if you go from being a Democrat to being a Republican. That's a radical shift. Now let's flip it. Let's say you were a Republican, and then on the way to work, you're driving to work, and you're happy. You're a nice little happy Republican, and then boom, the switch flips, and now you're a Democrat. And you're not just a Democrat, you're a hardcore Democrat, and you think you can convert all of your Republican friends to be Democrats. The world will be a better place. We'll help so many people. Our country will be better if you would just become a Democrat, right? It's a major flip. You can't even imagine making that flip. In fact, when you think of making a flip from one party to the other, you think, that would take an act of God. Yes, it would. It would take an act of God. And that's exactly what happened with Paul. It was no small thing that he went from being a Christian hater, a Christian hunter, to a Christian leader. It was a big deal, and it changed everything. So even if you don't take the Bible seriously, even if you have lots of questions about the Bible, you need to know this was written by a historical figure who lived in the time of Jesus. He wrote Ephesians about 20 years after his death, and he lived one way, and everything changed, and he lived another way. So even if you don't take the Bible seriously, you should take this question seriously. And if you don't follow Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I'll say it this way. You have an option to follow, to use this question in your life or not. But if you're a Christian, you have to ask this question. You have to ask this question if you're a Christian. So we're going to unpack it a little bit. So Paul, he's walking along, and they lived in a culture where things were very different than the way God wanted them to live. He's writing to a bunch of churches that used to be in the dark, and now they're in the light, and they're trying to follow God. They're living faith out in the middle of blood, sweat, and tears, a tyrannical government, and they're trying to make it all happen. And they've been in the dark, now they're in the light. How do I follow God? What does that look like? And Paul's writing some hard things to them. Don't sleep with this person you've been sleeping with. Here's what you need to do with your money. He's walking through some of the hardest, life-rocking, life-changing kinds of questions, kinds of steps, and they're big steps. Like, you were like this, now you got to be like this, shifting all the way on the other side. And it's kind of hard to stomach the big changes he's asking them to make. So what he says is, I want to give you a baby step. I want to give you baby step. I want to ease you into this whole thing. I want to give you a baby step just to kind of set you right. I want to give you something that if you just start doing this, it's going to help your life in the course of what it looks like to be a Christian. So he goes from hard stuff to saying, I'm going to give you a baby step. I'm going to give you a question. I want you to ask it at every opportunity, every invitation, every decision. And when you ask this question, when you think like this, it's going to make your life better. It's going to help you to live. So here's the question. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, we're going to tease it out from the scripture. Be very careful then how you live. That's how he starts it. When he says live, it means how you walk, how you go about your days, what your habits are, where you're going, what you're doing. It's your daily life. And then he says, be very careful. Now this word careful actually is a visual word. It means you're looking around. Where are you headed? Where have you been? Where are you going? What are the dynamics at play? What do you kind of see happening in your life? Be very careful. Be very aware. Look around. Watch your step. There's something that could get you off course. Be very careful. Then he continues on. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So he's giving this contrast. He's saying unwise is not careful. Wise people are very careful. They're looking around. They're seeing what's going on. Unwise people, you do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whoever you want, and you don't take the consequences into account. That's unwise. That's careless. The wise people, they're very careful. They look around. They say they're paying attention. They look where they're going, where they've been, what's happening right now. They're very careful. They're paying attention. So then let's put it together. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. In a few weeks, we're going to unpack about the idea of opportunity. So this is a time word, though. So just a little preview. It's this idea that you're going to take advantage of the time. Some of the translations say redeem the time. You're going to own it. You're going to pull something great out of something that seems mundane. You're going to redeem the time. You're going to make the most use of your time. And this is a big deal because time is your greatest asset. So make good use of your time. Be intentional with your life. And then he says this, because the days are what? Evil. The days are evil. So what do we mean by evil? It means that if you just go by the current of culture, you're going to end up somewhere you didn't want to be. If you just do what everyone else is doing, you're going to end up someplace you didn't intend to go. And this is true of your relationships. If you just follow the current of culture, you're going to end up with your relationships the way you don't want to go. Maybe it's with your romantic partners. You're going to end up where you didn't want to be. Maybe it's with your parents. You're going to end up disconnected from your parents. Or maybe with your kids. Maybe it's with your friends. You're going to end up a place you didn't want to go. This is true about your finances. That if you just go along with the current of culture, with a nation that has so much debt, it's almost uncountable. If you just go with the current of culture, you're going to end up in a place financially that you didn't want to be. If you just go with the current of the culture, you're going to end up with decisions that you regret. There are currents that are trying to pull us in all kinds of directions that we don't want to go. So don't be careless. Be careful. Be aware. Be careful. Don't be unwise. Choose to be wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Then he says this specifically to Christians. This is what he says to the Christians. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. This is kind of a dig at us for those of us who look for loopholes. Like, what can we get away with? How far can we take it? How far can we go? Do I really have to do that scripture in that way? I know the story of the Good Samaritan, but do I really have to be like that? Does it have to be that extreme? Is it really going to cost me that much to follow Jesus? And we try and work our way around it. And he's like, come on, guys. Wise up. Come on. You know what you should do. You know. You know the right thing. You know good and bad. You know the right thing to do. Come on. Stop fooling yourself. Don't be stupid. Engage with what the Lord's will is. And then he says this. He has this word in there. We translate it, but. Now, there's two words that could have been translated, but. One's a little but. One's a big but. Okay? And so I'm just trying to see if you're paying attention. So he uses the big but in this scenario. And the big but shows the greatest kinds of contrast. It gives you the greatest kind of contrast. And he's saying, I want you to own up to. I want you to be honest about you. I don't want you to pretend you didn't hear it. I don't want you to be stupid. I don't want you to say you didn't understand. I want you to face up to, I want you to tell yourself the truth because you know what you ought to do. You know right and wrong, so be careful. You know what the Lord's will is, so stop playing around. Because here's the truth. We can talk ourselves into anything, can't we? You've been there. You thought the bad decision was a great idea, right? You did. You're like, this is brilliant. Why haven't I thought of this before? And then you did it, and then you ended up in this big, fat mess. You can not only talk yourself into things, you can talk other people into things. Teenagers, you can often talk your parents into what you want them to think, right? Parents, you've been there. You're like, how did I even say yes to this? That was a terrible idea. You can talk your spouse into things. We should do this. This is a great deal. If we do this deal now, we'll save so much money later. Right? This is a brilliant investment. We should go down this path. This is a great idea. If you're an extrovert, you can just intimidate everyone else into your will, into what you think is a great idea. Right? We've been there. So pause and think, and then you're going to do it. You're going to pause and ask this question, and then you're going to do it. So Ephesians 5:17 is actually this litmus test. It's a litmus test at every opportunity, every invitation, every decision. The question is not, what's everybody else doing? That's not the question. The question is not, what did I do last time? Because we've repeated the past, right? The question is not, what can I get away with? The question is not, what is legal? The question is not, what is moral? It's a better question than that. Here's the question. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise? We're going to tease this out over the next few weeks, but I want you to say it with me. I want to get it in your minds for a second. I want you to say it with me. Here we go. What is the wise thing to do? Let's say it again. What is the wise thing to do? One more time. What is the wise thing to do? We're going to look at this in three dimensions, and I'm going to ask you questions that are going to make you pretty uncomfortable. So buckle up. Here we go. So here's the deal. You're smart. You are so smart. You have talked yourself, though, into so many things. And here's the truth. The easiest person for you to deceive is you. You may not be able to pull fast one on over everybody, but you sure can over you. So you ask, you show up, and you go, how did we get here? How did I even, I can't believe this. I can't imagine that I would ever have ended up in this. I thought I knew. I thought I had a handle. It wasn't that big of a deal. And here's how you got there. It's really simple. You didn't just make one big, fat, bad decision. You made an unwise decision. And an unwise decision, and an unwise decision, and an unwise decision, till you ended up in a big, fat mess. You didn't make one decision, you made 1,000 unwise decisions. You didn't make one wrong decision, you made a bunch of unwise decisions. It wasn't wrong yet, it was just, it wasn't wise. Does that make sense? There's a difference. This question is better than what's legal, or what can I get away with, or what's right and wrong. It's better than all of that because it helps set you up for a future of success. So be honest with yourselves. Face up and know what the Lord's will is at every opportunity, every invitation, and every decision. So here's our three dimensions. This is dimension number one. In light of my past experience, what's the wise thing to do? Let's say it out loud together. In light of my past experience, what's the wise thing for me to do? One more time. In light of my past experience, what's the wise thing for me to do? One last time. In light of my past experience, what's the wise thing for me to do? In light of your past experience, not mine, not theirs, in light of your past experience, because your past is different than my past. What may be okay for you may not be okay for me. What happened last time you did that? How'd that go? What happened last time you called them? What happened last time you texted them? What happened when you went with them? What happened when you stayed the night? What happened when you decided to go? What happened when you decided to stay? What happened when you snuck out last time? What happened when you said yes? Do you know why history keeps repeating itself over and over again? Especially relationally and financially, why does history keep repeating itself? It's because you don't ask this question. You're asking other questions, but you're not asking what's the wise thing to do. You're confused. Why do I keep doing the same things over and over again? Like, I know better, but I feel stuck. I don't see a way out. It seems you get confused because you're like, I should get different results because I'm tweaking it a little bit. It's not the same guy. You know, why does it keep? Why do I keep in the same mess? It's not the same investment. Why do I end up in the same place? It's not the same argument with my spouse, but we keep ending up in the same place. I don't understand. You see, you believe like I believe. You believe that you can manage outcomes. You believe that you can handle it. You say, you know, last time was different than this time. This time it's different. This time I'm ready. I'm more mature now. I can handle it. I have the discipline that's needed to move forward in this endeavor. Paul says, come on, don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. In light of your past experience, not what is right or what is legal or what they're doing or what they said or what you want to do. In light of your past experience, what's the wise thing for you to do? Not them, you. You're not them. They're different than you. That's okay. What's the wise thing for you to do? It brings clarity, doesn't it? Start thinking, oh, wow, okay, I know, you know. I know exactly what I should do when I ask this question, where I should go, who I should go with, why it's a bad idea for me, right? In light of your past experience, what's the wise thing for you to do? If you want history to stop repeating itself, you have to ask this question. You have to ask it, and then you have to act on it. You have to actually begin moving forward with it. All right, so the next one, this is the second dimension. In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing for me to do? So let's say it together. In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing for me to do? Last time I promised. In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing for me to do? You just got married. You used to do this, but now you're married. It's a new set of circumstances. You just went through a divorce and it rocked you. And you think you met him, or you think you met her, and you're just so delighted. But in light of your current state of vulnerability, in light of your current emotional strength, this isn't forever, and it's not for everybody. This is for you in this circumstance. What do? You're at school, and everyone else is going on a trip, and your grades have been struggling, and it's going to be the spring break of a lifetime. In light of your current circumstances, what's the wise thing for you to do? You just got a new job. Do you really need to take that time off now, or do you need to wait? What's the wise thing for you to do? You just moved and you spent a lot of money because there's a ton of moving expenses. You still got to get registration in your car. You still have to pay this on the house. In light of your current circumstance, what's the wise thing for you to do? You just had child number 2, child number 3, child number 6. I don't know where you're at, but you've had your kids. What's now in this current circumstance? You're not an empty nester yet. Maybe you don't need to buy the RV yet. I don't know. What's the wise thing for you to do? It's not right or wrong. It's not what is everyone else doing. It's not even what you've done before. It's what's the wise thing to do. Right now, in light of your present circumstance, maybe you're getting out of debt. Maybe because of what your mom's going through. Maybe you're starting the new job. Maybe you're trying to get back on track spiritually. You're starting a new journey. What's the wise thing for you to do in this current set of circumstances? It brings clarity, doesn't it? It's like, oh, wow, I know. You can't escape it. You know. We think it's easier to do this. We think it's going to be all right. This is what I always do. This is what I did last time. In light of your present circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? It's not what's right. It's not what's legal. It's not what everyone else is doing. It's what is the wise thing for you to do. It is a much better question than all those other questions. All right. This is the third dimension. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? Let's say it together. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? At some point, we've all traded in our future hopes and dreams for something we wanted in a moment. What a tragedy. What a tragedy to trade something we really want, something that's really meaningful, something that's really long-lasting. What a tragedy to trade it in for something so temporary. What a terrible decision to trade in a future relationship for a relationship you can have now that's not going to be with you there. What a terrible thing to trade something now for what you could have then, but you're not going to have what you have now then. We sometimes buy things like this, right? We have a future hope and dream of what we're going to buy or what we're going to have one day, what kind of life or what kind of retirement. But we buy the thing now that's not even going to last that long. Does that make sense? What a tragedy that is. This component has the potential to change the very trajectory of your entire life. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? In light of my future. Some of you have friends that don't live for the future. They live for the now. They're just waiting for the next paycheck, right? They're just waiting for the next trip. They're just waiting for summer to hit. They're just waiting for the next fun thing that can get in front of them. They're just waiting for that. But you, on the other hand, you have a vision for your life. You see where you want to head. You know the kind of person you want to be. So don't let someone else rob you of that future that you have in your mind and your heart. Don't let anyone take it. We say things like, well, they're not going to find out. They wouldn't know. No one will know. It's just one time. How many times have we said that? It's just one purchase on the credit card. It's not that big of a deal, right? It's just one text. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Not that big of a deal. And we would let go of the future. It's a tragedy that we would let go of the future for something or for someone that will not be joining us there. It's a better question than what's right or what's legal. It's a better question than asking, what did I do last summer? Better question than that. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? Not for them. What's the wise thing for them to do? What's the wise thing for me to do in light of my future hopes and dreams? Because your future hopes and dreams are different than theirs. And if you ever want to get there, stop living in comparison with their life. Look at your life where you are and get really clear on where you want to go. And here's the deal. If you want to end up with a better career, better financially, better educationally, then that will determine what you do today, right here, right now. Don't you wish you'd been asking this question all along? Like, where would you be financially had you been asking this question before? Where would you be relationally? What if you asked this question over every opportunity that you had? What's the wise thing for me to do in light of my future hopes and dreams? Every opportunity, every invitation. Hey, come with us too. What's the wise thing for you to do? In light of your hopes and dreams. Don't sell your future for the now. Don't sell it. In light of every decision that you have to make, should I buy this? Should I go there? Should I do that? In light of all your decisions, with all your decisions in mind, every time you have a decision, what's the wise thing for me to do? It brings clarity, right? I'll say this. This is just a truth about personal vision. Your personal vision is the catalyst for wise decisions. Your personal vision is the catalyst for wise decisions. So it's this reality that if you can paint a very clear picture of where you want to head, you can live now in light of that. So here's what I want you to begin doing. I want you to begin imagining a better future. I was talking to a friend just the other week, and he was unpacking his life. He just came off of a major time of being just pressed down by depression and anxiety. He could barely get out of bed, barely do his job. He was actually just surviving. And I was talking to my friend, I'm trying to encourage him. I was like, well, what would happen if you just had peace? He goes, I've never had peace. He grew up in a really hard home life situation. He has PTSD from it. It's crippling him, even today. He's a grown man in his 40s, and he can't seem to move past it. I said, talking to my friend, and I said, Matt, what would it look like if you had real joy? What would it look like if in the morning you woke up and you didn't feel that pressure in your chest from the beginning of the day? What would it look like if when someone said something off-putting to you that it didn't cause all that stress and all that tension in your life? What would it look like for you to go through a day and have real joy and real peace and real patience? He says, I don't think it's even possible. I said, well, Matt, it's time to start dreaming because I believe in you. I believe there's a greater future for you than your past. And you don't have to live there. You can live somewhere else. I said, so borrow my vision for your future for just a little bit. Just begin to dream that you could have peace, you could have joy, you could have a better life. And start living in light of a new vision for your future. You need to get specific about who you are in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now. What kind of car are you driving? What kind of decisions are you making? What do you talk like? What do you sound like? Do you have peace or do you have anxiety? What's the dream version of you look like, sound like, act like, think like? What kind of decisions are they making? What kind of decisions are they glad that you made here in the present? What is your future self actually paying attention to? What are they doing? What's their morning routine? Do they get up early? Do they sleep in late? Are they reading books? Are they just binge watching on Netflix? Do they have a greater education, or are they stuck where they've always been? Do they have new friends or the same friends? What does the new version of you look like? Get really clear on that. The more clarity you can bring to who you're going to be in 5, 10, 20 years, the better you're going to be able to make wise decisions now, because you're going to know, in light of your future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do. Do you eat healthy in the future? Do you exercise in the future? If you do, then what are you doing today to prepare for that future now? In light of your future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? You see, this is why goals are good. This is why you need vision boards. This is why you need to write things down and journal them. You have to fasten your hearts to the things that you really want in life. You need to be making decisions today in light of where you want to head in the future. In light of your future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for you to do? All right, let's put it all together. Everything we've talked about, all three dimensions, in one question. In light of my past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? Let's say it out loud together. In light of my past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? In light of my past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? One last time. In light of my past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? No one plans to screw up their lives. They just don't plan not to. This question is how you plan not to screw up your life. No one starts one marriage planning for the second marriage. No one starts their personal career, their financial journey, and saying, you know, I can't wait for that bankruptcy to roll around. No one starts a relationship thinking, I wonder how much I can screw this up. You know, no one starts that way. But every opportunity, every invitation, every decision, and a lot of my past experience, present circumstances, future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? Honey, in light of our current circumstances, you know what's going on right now. What's the wise thing for us to do? Family, let's talk. Let's get around the kitchen table. Family, in light of our future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for us to do right now? You need to ask it. And here's the thing. When you ask it, you'll know what the wise thing to do is. You'll know. It brings so much uncomfortable clarity. So ask it. And it's going to save you a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of tears. It will foolproof your relationships. It will foolproof your finances. It's a better question. Should we be surprised that the God who is love would write something like this for us? Should we be surprised that the God who really has your best interest in mind is helping you to line up with what he's already doing? Should we be surprised that he loves us so much as to invite us into a better life? Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. But here's the deal. It's not just that he gives something and then we just have it. It's something we have to partner with God in. You didn't even get saved just because of what he did. You got saved because you became an active participator in your salvation. God doesn't just make the world a better place because he waves the magic wand. It's because we live out his will in this earth. We choose that we're going to bring heaven to earth here and now. We're active participators in making this world a better place, and you're an active participator in making your life a better place. And your Heavenly Father prepared these things for you for now. So here's your homework. Okay, I'm going to give you homework. We don't always give homework in church. It's not a worksheet or anything like that, but here's your homework. I just want you to ask this question. What's the wise thing to do? I just want you to ask that question. Don't do anything. Don't make any wise decisions. Just ask, what's the wise thing to do? And some of you, you know where I'm going with this. You kind of get where we're headed with this, but you don't need to do anything different. I want you to create a new habit of, at every opportunity, every invitation, and every decision you ask, what's the wise thing to do? You owe it to yourself to know the answer to that question. You owe it to yourself. And when you ask it, you're going to immediately learn something about yourself. Teenagers, young adults in the room, children of parents. When you ask this question, right, it may sound eerily familiar to something mom or dad said, right? You're not about to tell them that they were right. You're not about to tell them. I don't want you to even do what they said. I want you to ask this question. And based on your response to that question, you just learned something about yourself, right? Employee, employer. You're going to ask this question, what's the wise thing to do? And you're going to hear a response inside of you that sounds eerily familiar to what your team's been saying, what your boss has been saying, and you're going to have to make a decision. You're not about to tell them that what they said made sense or what they said was wise, but you learn something about yourself. Are you doing the wise thing or are you not? You learn something about yourself. Husbands in the room, you're asking this question, and it sounds eerily familiar to something your wife said, right? You're not about to tell her, but whether or not you respond to that wisdom reveals something about you. Wives, if what you hear when you ask, you know, what's the wise thing to do, if it sounds eerily familiar, it sounds like something your husband said, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. Because guys, we're just usually not that tuned in, right? So wives, if you have a husband that says wise things, love them, cherish them, hold on to them because you have found a good thing. Christians or not, whether you believe all the Bible or you don't believe the Bible or you're still figuring all that out, when you ask this question, if you resist this idea, it says something about you. Here's what it says. That you don't have your best interest in mind. If you resist the idea of what wisdom's saying to you, you don't have your best interest in mind. And if you don't have your best interest in mind, who does? Who has your best interest in mind? Well, your Heavenly Father certainly does. That's why He wrote this down. He wrote this down so that you could live it out, so that you could have a better life, so you didn't have to be stuck repeating the same things of the past. He wrote this down so that you didn't have to do what Mama and Daddy did. You don't have to repeat that again. You don't have to do what you did last year. You don't have to be financially like you used to be. You don't have to be relationally like you used to be. You can remove yourself from a lot of broken time, a lot of broken hearts, a lot of broken energy. You can remove yourself from those things. You see, if you avoid this question, you're going to end up where you didn't want to go, simply because you didn't plan not to. This question is how you plan not to end up in those places. And if you don't want to end up like that in your kids, you don't want to end up like that with your family, you need to ask this question. You owe it to yourself to know the answer to this question. So a lot of your past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? This week, all I need you to do is just ask it. You just need to ask the question. When you're driving up to McDonald's, what's the wise thing to do? When you drive past the gym, what's the wise thing to do, right? It's 3 a.m., your mind is reeling. You want to go get another cake out of the fridge. What's the wise thing to do? You're really frustrated and you haven't calmed down yet. What's the wise thing to do? This new thing came out. You just had this idea. I should get this. Should you hesitate or should you buy it right now? What's the wise thing to do? Should you invest without research? What's the wise thing to do? Just ask this question. You owe it to yourself to know the answer. I believe the future that God has for you is better than your past. I believe there's generational mindsets that you've seen played out over and over again. Your aunt deals with it. Your uncle deals with it. Your dad deals with it. Your grandfather dealt with it. Your grandmother dealt with it. They've been dealing with it their whole life. You don't have to repeat that process. You can engage with what the Lord's doing in your life now. And I promise you, He's doing something good. In fact, Scripture says that He works all things together for the good of those who serve the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. Your worst regrets, the things of your past, the beauty of your future, He pulls all that together and makes something great if you just put it in His hands. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'd like to pray for you. I believe there may be some of you in this room today who you'd say, I'm far from God. And I'm here today. This is unique and it may feel awkward, it may feel exciting. But you say, I want to close that gap. I don't want to be far from God any longer. I need Him. I need Him in my life. I need Him to bind up the old broken wounds. I need Him to redeem my past. I don't want to repeat it. I want a fresh future. Scripture tells us that God is making all things new. He's not just fixing the old. He's making something new out of the pieces of your life. You can trust Him with your brokenness. You can trust Him with your fears and your regrets. You can also trust Him with your hopes and your dreams. He's got the best life planned for you. That's what Jesus came to give you. Life, and life abundantly. The life that is really life. The thing you've always wanted. The thing you've always craved. He's come to give that to you. If you're here today and say, I want to know the God of love like that. I've been far from God, but I want to follow Him with everything inside of me. I want to give Him my life, every part of it. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I simply want you to do this. Simply want you to raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to follow Jesus. If that's you, slip your hand up right now. I want to follow Jesus. I see your hand there. I see your hand here. I see your hands there. Anybody else? I want to follow Jesus. That's six people today that say, I'm making a decision. I'm putting a line in the sand. I'm following Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray you would cement these things in our heart, that we'd make the wisest decision that we could make, which is to follow you with every single ounce of our being, every breath, every moment, every opportunity, every decision. I want to follow you. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. If you would get ready to pray with me for just a second. Those who raise their hands, they're ready to take a step. They're going to follow Jesus. Some of them, it may be the first time. This may be a salvation kind of moment. They're ready to be saved from some things. We don't do things alone here at Community Church. We do things together. So I would ask you, we're going to pray a prayer that kind of cements this moment. It says, I'm following Jesus. I'm giving Him my life. So everyone in the room, regardless of whether you raise your hand or not, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I admit that I am a sinner and that I am lost without you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Help me to live for you every day for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God praise. He's doing good things and good people. I'm so excited. If you would stand to your feet today as we get ready to close out. Like I said earlier, when it was giving time, your giving makes a difference. It made a difference today. It made a difference in the lives of six people who said, I'm taking a step. I'm following Jesus. Some, that was your first time. It was a salvation moment. Others, it was this commitment, this solidifying. I'm going to make wise decisions. I'm going to engage what God's doing. Those are huge. They have the ability to change our lives forever. I'm so proud of each of you for being here today. You could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here today. You chose to engage in what God's doing. As we close out, we're going to sing one last song, and I'm going to come up to do our closing prayer. Sing with us.